Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. So Free Young Blood is back, the documentary, but now it's part two, combating the mass incarceration of young black males. Bobby Marvin Holmes, one of the two producers of this project, a founder of Son of Dream LLC, a youth development consulting group, and author of Casey's Day with Daddy, his children's book, former producer Mark Steiner Show, now producing for Sean Yost's show here on First Edition here on WEAA. Kevin Sherrod is with us as well, youth advocate and multinational speaker, author of the memoir Lessons of Redemption and the Mayor's Heroin Treatment and Prevention Task Force. Good to have you in the studio as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
And y'all can join us here, 410-319-8888. Kevin is in the film, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So, Bobby, tell us what you and Justin Gladden have cooked up here.
As you know, Mark, we started this journey in 2010 with the Young Blood documentary series, which focused on challenges impacting black males. The first installment, Live Young Blood, focused on reducing community violence here in Baltimore. And of course, we had two more as a three-part series. So we had the second one, which where we are now, Free Young Blood, combating the mass incarceration of black males, and the third one, Teach Young Blood, which hopefully will be coming out in 2019 or so. But Free Young Blood, we started this project pre-production in fall 2014, and May of last year we started production for the film. And wrapping up, ready for Sunday, April 17th, our premiere screening.
2 weeks.
Yep.
A week from Sunday.
Yep.
So, and what your role in this film is what?
I just appeared in the film talking about my story of growing up in Baltimore, a young kid in and out of trouble, the 12 years I spent in prison for dealing drugs, and the work I've been doing for the last almost 10 years now with criminal justice reform. At the time, I was working with when Bobby started filming, I was working with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund on some criminal justice reform issues about a year ago, Bobby? A year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a great opportunity to really talk about these issues and get this information out to the public.
So, you know, I'm curious about these two films that have been made so far. Mm-hmm. It almost came up with a tweet that I did not get a chance to read when Dave Onlow was here talking about the police accountability bill he's working on in Annapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's the connection between the two films, unless there's the tweet coming in that said the police need to crack down more on gangs in the city. That was the tweet we didn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious because these two films are, so far that you've done,
yes,
are taking on both ends of this. I mean, the first piece you did had to do with violence inside a community, mm-hmm. and any violence that's taken the lives of so many black people in our communities, within the community itself, and the violence is kind of tearing us under the right. fabric of life. And now you're talking about the other end of it, which right. is the accountability for the system, jailing, killing and jailing so many black men and young people of color in this country, but focusing on Baltimore, which is where the situation is in the African-American community. So talk about the connection between the two for you, Bob.
Justin and I, when we started out, we tried to capture all of that in Live Young Blood, but that would have been an extremely long film. but the connection of the plight of the black male today, all the challenges he faces within this community. You know, I work with youth here in Baltimore, I mentor youth here in Baltimore, and I often tell folks that I don't have the luxury of teaching my youth what to do when stopped by the police. That's not my only job. I have to tell him how to navigate and survive in this neighborhood, whether it's Rodney with a gun or Officer Smith with a gun. So all of it ties back to what are the concerns of black males, and are we giving enough attention to highlighting this in our media and telling a different narrative of what's happening with the black male. You may see us on the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock news being carried away with the police officer, but our story hasn't been told about how did that young man get there. Mm-hmm. We often condemned and demonized and label such things as predator, but the backstory on what contributed to that young person's trajectory in that young person's life. What cultivated that? What shaped that? How was that young person socialized in that community? So we felt it was very fitting to tie the two together of trying to survive within his own community around folks that look like him, and the overarching issue being not just black violence, violence happening in black communities, but America's obsession and America's culture with violence, and leading that to how the criminal justice system disproportionately impacts that young man when he's carried off jail for carrying that crime, whether it's dealing with truth in sentencing or it's dealing with mandatory minimum sentencing, mm-hmm. how the black male is often received the heavier weight when terms of sentencing, in terms of mass arrest in the community.
And how the war on drugs played a huge role in this whole picture. And it's not talked about enough. I mean, if you just look at the data, if you just look at the numbers since 1970, how prison populations increased by 700%.
Yes.
The disparities in the crack laws. I mean, just look at the situation now. And so we have a terrible thing going on right now with this, you know, heroin situation, right? But we're calling it a heroin epidemic. But when the crack epidemic hit America, we wasn't calling it a crack. Excuse me. When the crack problem hit America, we wasn't calling it a crack epidemic.
Right.
But now the heroin situation is really, you know, ripping apart suburbia America, right? But we're not addressing this heroin problem as increasing sentencing and throwing more people in prison. We're looking at it from a smart, pragmatic way. But the crack situation destroyed so many black families across America. We're talking about substance abuse or incarceration. And at some point, we got to have a real conversation about how we punish people for crimes in America.
So Bobby, it's the heart of the film. So what are you in this film? What are you positing? What are you saying in terms of just outlining the issue? What are you saying has to be done? What are you trying to get to in the heart of this film?
I think it's important, Mark, for us to start educating our policymakers. Of course, you appear in the film. We interviewed you in the film, Mark, and your role in the film is really detailing the civil rights era, what was happening then, where we had laws in America, the Jim Crow laws, that disproportionately impacted black people, basically criminalized black life in America. And we felt it was fitting to take it from that historical standpoint in the beginning of the movie, explain to folks that America has a historical experience in terms of criminalizing black folks, whether you're dealing with slavery, whether we're dealing with the black codes, whether we're dealing with civil rights era, or here we are now, the era of mass incarceration. So America has to take a look at itself, you know, a deep look at itself in the mirror, and understand that historically you've been damaging and devastating lives. Since the beginning, since our parents here in this country, and understanding that when it's time to make laws and policies, we have to be very clear on what type of impact that will have on black communities, whether it's dealing with Reagan administration pushing the war on drugs, as Kevin just mentioned, or dealing with President Bill Clinton pushing the crime bill in the 90s during his tenure. Mm-hmm. We have to be clear on how these policies cripples a community. We felt like one thing we tried to get away from, Mark, is covering the unrest. Because Justin and I, as media professionals, as journalists, we didn't want to seem like opportunists. We didn't want to seem like, because everyone right. in the world came to Baltimore mm-hmm. to say, hey, look at this. They're burning, they're looting. Look at this. We didn't want to seem like we were trying to take advantage of a story. However, we kept on coming back to Freddie Gray's story. We kept on coming back to the Sandtown Winchester every time we interviewed someone and looking at it for what it is. It's the second time Baltimore was set on fire after the death of a black male, and the black male due to systematic issues. So we had to dive into it deep and get to the heart of, okay, Freddie Gray would stop due to a policy, zero tolerance policing, that was enacted by then Martin O'Malley in the 90s. And we all know what zero tolerance did to Baltimore, mass arrests, hundreds of right. thousands of people. The city was sued by the ACLU for that policy that damaged lives. And you really, if you put it together again, America has a historical context. Zero tolerance kind of mirrors the black codes, where black folks were getting locked up for standing around the corner and being unemployed. It's very similar to what we have here today. So Justin and I wanted to tell that story and explain it fully, not so much of, look, here is the burning looting, but why did this happen? Why did this anger and this frustration build over? And how did race and class inequity shape and explode this situation?
Well, I'm going to say that we've had more time today, but we will in the future with this. And I just want to say that how just hugely proud of I am of you, Bobby Marvin Holmes, and Justin Gladden, for the work you're doing in our community, and using media to bring these stories here. We're also joined in the studio here by Kevin Sherd, youth advocate and motivational speaker and author of the memoir Redemption. You can see the premiere of Free Young Blood, Combating the Mass Incarceration of Young Black Males, followed by a panel discussion that we've moderated by Sean Yost, our own Sean Yost here, Sunday, April 17th at 6 p.m. at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. More information at lewismuseum.org or calling 443-263-1800. And we'll have that information at steinershow.org. I'll be hosting that evening, and I'm looking forward to that as well, by Marvin Holmes and Justin Gladden. And we'll all be there on April 17th, be there and be part of that discussion at 6 p.m. at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. And I want to thank great to have you in the studio, Kevin Sherd.
Thank you.
And thank you for the work you do, by the way, and thank what you do for all of our people in this community. And Bobby Marvin Holmes, just congratulations, man. You're doing incredibly important work. I want to thank you for being here today, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.